Welcome in the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter, and I'm joined as always by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Balls on Twitter. How you doing, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, man, I'll tell you, I'm pretty fired up, Shane. We've been talking some of the heavyweights in the SEC, Tennessee on Monday, Bama on Tuesday.
Bandy so on Wednesday, baby.
No, we're talking to dogs, Shane. Georgia Bulldogs trying to go 3-for-3. Kirby Smart says we're built to sustain. We'll get all into it, Shane, but I'm fired up, Shane, to dedicate an hour here to them dogs. How you doing, brother?
Like they ain't got enough spotlight. You know what I'm saying? They're still doing victory laps out there, taking cruises and having fun. It's just been a hell of a summer for them Georgia Bulldogs and the fans. Brother, I'm excited. I'm pumped up. A little tired, I'm going to tell you. Last night, I'm standing at the new Buc-ee's in Sevierville, right? All right, so this, if you don't know what Buc-ee's is, where have you been? It's all over. Google Auburn. All right. It's a popular gas station, whatever. But the largest one in the country was built right here in my backyard. And I said, you know, honey, it opened today. Let's drive up there and go see this thing, you know. We could stand in there with all them other tour-ons and say, you know what? We are the first ones here in the largest Buc-ee's in the entire world, you know. And side note, asterisk, Texas is building one currently that is larger than it's a pattern, okay? So, anyway, I'm standing in front of this beaver, and we're getting our picture made, and I'm saying, oh, my God, if 24-year-old Shane told said, hey, when you hit 40, you're going to stand beside a beaver at a gas station off the 407 exit, and you're going to be excited about it. I would think I made some serious mistakes in my life, Mike, but we had a hell of a time. And if you've never been in one, do it. I spent $90 at a gas station and did not get gas. You know? Oh, what kind of scam they running, man?
I mean, I don't know how to top that. I don't know how to transition from that. But that little sidebar, that encapsulates this show better than anything. We got some Georgia Bulldogs to talk. But before that, Shane, I did want to make a note. Man, tragedy has struck the SEC once again. You know, twice here in a week's time. Just as we were sitting here to record, this news broke. So I don't really have a lot of details, but apparently this has been confirmed that Ryan Mallett, former standout Arkansas quarterback, has passed away, only 35 years old, Shane. It sounds like some kind of drowning incident. So thoughts and prayers out to his family, Razorback family there. Just, man, by many accounts, the greatest quarterback in Arkansas history, gone tragically well before his time.
Yeah, man, I truly hate to hear it. And you know, you hear these wild stories. Another Arkansas great, you had Peyton Hillis not too long ago out there in the water. It's like, you know, sometimes I don't know that we don't know the details and stuff like that, but it does kind of it makes you question water sometimes, man, because these guys were a lot better shape than we are, you know. And I truly hate to hear this, especially for that family and Arkansas family. Truly devastating. So, I mean, at such a young age, man. There's just so many. It's a young family, and those are always the toughest, man. You know, you get somebody at the tail end of their life that's lived a good life. You know, there was a lot of life to live here. So, I just hate to hear that, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's tough to move on from that, Shane, but we got to do it because we promise we're going to get to these Georgia Bulldogs, Shane. And as always, let's quick recap of last season. And I do the first game, Shane. I do. All my Georgia preseason talk was in trouble because they came right out 49-3 against Oregon. If you remember that matchup, I mean, they look like a machine. They look like they were better. And I was sitting here saying, how in the hell is this possible? Well, it turned out they were basically better than they were the year prior on their way to back-to-back national championships. Remember, Shane, I'm the idiot. I said, Week 3 on the road, South Carolina. That's the game. I think they're going to be rebuilding.
Yeah.
Well, they rebuilt the 48-7 win on that one. Beat Tennessee, number one Tennessee at the time, 27-13. Maybe the game of the year. Beat Ohio State in the playoff, 42-41. And oh yeah, TCU 65-7. They took their foot off the gas in the second quarter and still won by 50 points in the national championship game. Man, these dogs are impressive,
dude. I'm telling you, I mean, going through so many years of Alabama dynasties, it's like, oh well, I can't wait till we move on, and then they create something different, and it's meaner and uglier and loaded, and it's just, oh man, and it's closer to home, you know. It's like, maybe you got to be careful what you wish for sometimes here, Mike. And if you are a Georgia Bulldog fan, I tell you, brother, I'm not saying you deserve it, but, I mean, the 1980 jokes, that went on forever, man, you know. And to put right. back-to-back seasons together like they did in a dominating fashion, I mean, this is moving you quickly up the list of the greatest programs ever. So I think you're on cloud nine, and you're ready to three-peat. I mean, when's the last time that happened, Mike? You know, so these guys are ready to win. They're starting a streak, man. I mean, they got a streak going of undefeated, and they want to continue that.
Right. And to answer your question, Shane, three-peat has never been done in the AP poll era. Gee. And I believe that's 1940 forward. Minnesota, I think, was the last one to do it in like 36, 37, and 30.
Were they all at home and nobody could get there? Is that what it was back in the day? Yeah, the wagons couldn't make it up north.
They were playing with a round ball. They couldn't pass That's the right. ball. You know what I mean? So it was a different sport.
All juiced
back
up.
Then. So,
yeah, cheaters.
It was a different sport back yeah. then, no doubt, Shane. But big reason, well, the main reason that Georgia is on top, Shane, and it's none other than Kirby Smart,
yeah.
the man driving this Georgia train here. He's 81-15 in seven seasons, Shane. Incredible record. 8-2 in bowl games. 48-13 against SEC opponents. Look, just listen to this list, Shane. 7-0 against Kentucky and Missouri. 6-1 against Auburn and South Carolina and Tennessee. 6-1 against all of them. Vanderbilt 5-1, should be 6-1, but they backed out of the COVID year because they didn't want to get beat down.
Yeah.
So really should be 6-1. Florida 5-2, Mississippi State 3-0, Arkansas 2-0, A&M 1-0, Bama 1-4, but he beat them in the one that counted, Shane, national championship. LSU finally got that streak snap last year, just destroyed them in the SEC championship. He's 1-2. Against LSU, and he'll get to vindicate himself, Shane. The one team he's not beaten in the SEC, Ole Miss, 0-1, but they're coming to Athens to get that smackdown this year. So, hey, you think Kirby's going to be motivated to get that W over the one team he does not have a W over? You bet your ass he's going to be fired up for that one. You know what?
Absolutely, Mike. And, you know, one of the best things about this team last year was when they were dialed in, when they were focused and there was something on the line, they just destroyed the other opponent. When it was me versus you, you know, and especially mm-hmm. if it was put on a platform, because you got to remember that Oregon game was put on a platform. There was a lot of talking heads out there saying, hey, Georgia better watch out here. Tennessee, I mean, come on. It ain't loud down there in Athens, you know. This, again, you put them on blast and they come. I think when you're looking at the TCU is the last example. This is the national championship. You talk about yep. a complete game. That's exactly what they had there. But there were a handful of games that I guess they just overconfident, ill-prepared. But I think it was later used for ammunition in some of these other games. And I'm talking the Mizzou. I'm talking the, mm-hmm. What's the other one? Ohio State. You know, mm-hmm. some of these games, they just say, hey, we're going to beat these guys. Let's just get to the natty. You know what I'm saying? I feel like at times that's what almost caught Georgia. But when I say almost, I'm talking just staying within two scores almost, you know, staying within a score almost. So that was a victory against Georgia last year, was just not getting your ass ran out of town.
And I forgot, Shane, home and away record for Kirby. I wanted to give a shout out to this because this is, I think, the true mark. You can tell you got an elite coach when his road record is essentially the same as his home record. 34-4 at home, just outstanding. Jeez. 21-3 in conference play at home. But on the road, Shane, 26-4. So the same number of losses, 22-4 in conference play on the road. 22-4. My goodness, Shane. He's got more away wins than he's got home wins at this point in time.
Oh, God. Just keep crowding them, Mike. Just keep crowding. I forget this was a Homer podcast, you know. Gators, here they are. They had Tennessee that one day. They got Georgia the next. They're just out there. I'm messing with them. I give them a hard time. But, yeah, no, this is a very impressive. And, you know, and what's impressive is it's not a Cinderella season. Last year wasn't a Cinderella season. This is a continuation. This is a program that continues to reload. So that's mm-hmm. the craziest part about this Georgia team.
And the only notable coaching change, of course, Shane, is, you know, Todd Monken mm-hmm. off to the NFL. He's back with the Baltimore Ravens. Outstanding offensive coordinator. I'm not trying to take away from anything he did because I think that's the best hire Kirby's ever made. He's made some outstanding, I mean, hell, he's got about 3-4 guys he's hired that are now head coaches. So he's made a lot of good hires. Todd Monken was the best of the bunch. And now he's elevated Mike Bobo. So I think for the rest of the SEC, Shane, this is the only hope that the Georgia dynasty's coming to the end is if Bobo is not that good of an offensive coordinator. But for the life of me, Shane, I can't understand these people that think Bobo is not a good offensive coordinator, Shane. He was already on Georgia staff last mm-hmm. year, and they asked Todd Monken, who should we replace? Who's the best guy to replace you? He said, the guys that already in-house, Mike Bobo, you got to elevate this guy. He was at Auburn in 2021, and people just think Brian Harsin, what a disaster. But you got to remember, Shane, Auburn that year, in November, controlled their own fate to win the West, and what mm-hmm. happened? The defense fell apart, and Bo Nix broke his ankle.
Yeah.
And remember, this is the same guy coached up T.J. Finley. They had Alabama beat.
Yeah.
Tank Bigsby ran out of bounds. Remember that? So, again, the offense was not the problem when he was at Auburn. Same deal, South Carolina. He was offense coordinator 2020. They fired Will Muschamp's ass when Lane Kiffin put up 60 on him in that game. That was the clipboard game. That was on the defense, Shane. They had a quarterback.
That was a shootout.
It was a shootout. They had a quarterback by the name of Colin Hill, who you have to Google this right now if you're listening to this show. Who the hell's Colin Hill? Well, he was a guy they had. That was South Carolina's starting quarterback. And remember, they had Kevin Harris at running back. And, hey, Shane Beamer's done a hell of a job. But remember, when Bobo left, Kevin Harris was never the same. So, I mean, he got a hell of a lot of production out of that South Carolina offense.
What was that quarterback's name again? I done forgot.
Colin Hill was his name.
He's running a Staples over here in Columbia now, ain't he?
Exactly. And, of course, before that, he was Colorado State head coach, Georgia OC quarterback coach. I mean, this guy has got an outstanding track record. Some of his quarterbacks, Shane, Aaron Murray, all-time leading passer in SEC history. You may have heard of him. Matt Stafford, number one overall pick. And David Green, who doesn't get the credit he deserves for an outstanding quarterback. So, I mean, this is an impressive resume. He's coached 92 games as the offensive coordinator at Georgia, Shane. 57 of those times, they scored 30 or more, so over half. 40 or more, 29 times. And 50 or more, 13. Who is this? Josh Heupel running the offense over here? I mean, this is ridiculous. They got the players.
Yep.
Mike Bobo will be a solid offensive coordinator for Georgia, and that's all they need because they got the best damn defense in the country.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. And again, we're not looking to reinvent the wheel. It's not like he brought into a messed up situation here. A lot of times when you look at what Mike has done through the years, he was fixing problems. Here, he's just maintaining the current trajectory of this football team. So mm-hmm. I would like to see a little bit more of his flair on there. I love that there's a little bit of a quarterback competition here. You know, Mike knows those quarterbacks. Hell, I was watching I do these highlights with the big orange walks, and I'm watching one the other day that's got Mike Bobo and Kirby Smart going against Peyton Manning, you know? So it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot they were on the same team. So, no, this guy's well familiar, knows how to play the game, knows what's expected down there in Athens. This job is not too big for him. And I'm with you, Mike. I think this was a sleeper hire. And then here in a couple of years, Mike's going to land another opportunity in the college football world as a head coach.
Right. I mean, I think Kirby just goes to him and says, hey, Bobo, give me 21 points per game, and we'll beat everybody with this defense we got.
That's
in Athens.
It, man.
You know what?
Yeah. Wouldn't you, Matt? I mean, this is the best group he's ever had to work with. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
God, he's sleeping good tonight.
All right, Shay, let's get to the returning production for them Dogs this season on offense. 52% of the production's back. That ranks 13th in the SEC. So next to last, but again, Alabama and Georgia, this stat is basically irrelevant to them because they're so loaded. Only 6% of the passing is back, though, thanks to Stetson Bennett now with the L.A. Rams. Carson Beck at 310 yards. He's our leading returner. Rushing yards, 66% of the rushing is back. Dejon Edwards, 769 yards last year, number two on the team. Receiving yards, 62% with the man Brock Bowers. He led the way with 942 last season, and three starters are back on the offensive line chain. The interior of that line is what's back. They're replacing both tackles, but they're doing it with a couple five stars. So I hate crying for Georgia on that offensive line. You know what?
Absolutely no. Again, we're reloading here with Georgia. Some of these guys that are becoming the starters now were the ones that were backing up last year and got plenty of playing time. So, yeah, they're in no trouble.
Now, the defense, here's where they're really going to shine, Shane, because they got 70% of the production back, fourth most in the SEC. They were already the best defense in the SEC. Now they're top four in returning production. Four of their five top tacklers are back. 55% of the sacks from last season, and just 41% of the interceptions are back. But very, very loaded. We'll get to the defensive side here in a minute, but ranking the position groups was damn near impossible because you can convince me of any three of the positions being the strongest. There is no weakness on this defense.
No weakness at all. I mean, this is what we've started to come accustomed to, man. When you think of great defense, you're going to constantly compare them to the Georgia Bulldogs.
Right. So let's focus next, Shane, on the transfers. We always start with the outgoing first. And Georgia actually had a lot transfer out, Shane, but I don't think most of these guys are contributors. So I'm just going to go with in order of their importance. A.D. Mitchell, the receiver, he's off to Texas. I think that's the biggest blow. You know, hero of two national championship games. But he barely played last year because he was banged up. So how big of a loss is that? That's fair to question. Bear Alexander, the defensive lineman to Southern Cal, he wasn't even going to start. But, I mean, five-star, again, you see, I mean, Georgia's, they lose some talent, but it's just because they're so absolutely loaded. These guys can't even get on the field, Shane, yet Texas and Southern Cal are begging them, giving them NIL deals. Please come to our school. Please help our program. We're at Georgia. They won't even notice these guys are gone. You know what?
Absolutely. And part of the reason why they're so talented, because – they're constantly competing with other guys that can start at other schools, you know?
Right. Now, they did lose linebacker Tresman Marshall. Again, career backup. He's at Alabama, though, so he's very talented. Jameer Singletary, we've mentioned him before, the corner. He's at Arkansas now. I think he'll be a player for Arkansas. Arik Gilbert, tight end, just never lived up to that potential. He's at Nebraska now. Had he lived up to the potential, I mean, this would have been a significant loss, but I think he only had like six catches in his entire Georgia career. You know what?
I hope he gets it together. I mean, what is this, four schools? I mean, he's been all over the place, and it feels like it's now or never. So I wish him the best of luck here in Nebraska.
Right. And then all the other pieces, basically non-factors, Shane. We didn't have to bring in many at Georgia, but we brought in some good ones, Shane, starting with Dominique Lovett from Missouri, star slot receiver. I believe he was number two in the SEC in regular season receiving yards with 846 yards last year, 15 yards per catch. Incredible. Only three touchdowns, but I think that was a factor of the quarterback play being average at best at Missouri. Ra-Ra Thomas from Mississippi State, he's their most talented receiver. 62 catches, 878 yards, 12 touchdowns in his two seasons at Mississippi State. Both of these guys could be instant impact players, and that's saying something for the national champions here. Smoke Bowie, the defensive back, former five-star, was at A&M last year, four tackles, barely got on the field, but now he's back to be a nice depth piece in Athens. And then Lenith Whitehead, former Tennessee running back, 207 rushing yards and two touchdowns in three seasons at Tennessee. That's the entire list of who we brought in. But again, Georgia could bring in whoever the hell they wanted. They didn't have a lot of holes to fill.
Yeah, or scholarships to offer. So they that's just what they do. And I like what they got. Some of the pieces, and we'll talk about it here in a minute. But they went out, they addressed a few areas, and we're talking deep, man. I mean, their program is completely loaded, but there was a couple of pieces that could really make an instant impact, and that's what they did.
Mm-hmm. All right, so as for the recruiting class, Shane, it was a down year, to be quite honest with you, in Georgia. The number two recruiting class in the country, number two, of course, in the SEC, signed a number of five-stars. I'm kidding with saying it's a down class, of course. The number three edge defender in the entire country, Damon Wilson. Number three linebacker, Raylan Wilson. Number three safety, Joel Aguaro. Number four defensive lineman, Jordan Hall. Number five offensive tackle, Monroe Freeling. And then a couple four-stars that I'm already hearing great things about, Shane. The number three corner in the country, A.J. Harris. Number five linebacker, C.J. Allen. Number eight tight end, Lawson Lucky. And the number eight edge defender, Samuel Pembois. All these guys have the talent to get on the field. And I'm just throwing this one to the mix, Shane, because at Georgia, we do not cut corners. Give me the number one kicker. They're bringing him too, Peyton Woodring. You can never have enough good kickers on a roster. You know what?
Absolutely. Oh, Woodring. I like that. Yeah, he may start immediately.
All right, as for the position breakdown, Shane, I'm doing this one just for you, and I'm doing it for Brock Bowers because tight end is at the top of the list in Georgia. Brock Bowers, he's the best in the game. He may be the best player. Not tight end, best player in the entire country. And he may have been the last two seasons. He's that dominant as a receiver, as a blocker. The guy's got a motor that is just legendary down there in Athens. Spoiler alert, he's a 99 on my ratings list here. Oscar Delp, super sophomore, is back. And then our guy Rusty, he says, keep your eye on this Lawson Lucky, Shane. They also got another freshman coming in, Pierce Sperling. They love these 6'7" tight ends. 6'7", 240 pounds, Sperling is here. So, monster tight end. Yeah.
So, not worried at all. Getting rid of Eric and, of course, Washington. You know, I mean, they did lose some talent, some serious talent in that room. So, you're still good with keeping this at the one spot.
Shane, we don't rebuild in Athens. We just reload. So, no concern at all from me.
Here, we finally got tight ends. I'm trying to pull them back down here. So, no, I'm with you here.
All right, offensive line next on my list, Shane. The best center in the SEC, Cedric Van Pran, is back.
Yeah.
Xavier Truss at left guard. Tate Ratledge at right guard. Ugh. Anchors on that offensive line. And, again, I realize we're replacing both tackles, but we're doing it with former five-stars Amarius Mims and Ernest Green. Yeah. And how about Mims, Shane? Look at this monster. 6'7". 330 pounds. Oh, my God. And he couldn't get on the field. Because you know why? Because both their tackles are in the NFL last year. So, man, God, we are just...
Reminds me of my prom date. Just kidding.
And, Shane, we got some quality backups. Micah Morris, Austin Blasky, Dylan Fairchild, Chad Lindbergh. I mean, these are all touted guys who...
Yeah.
It's just not their time yet. I'm sure they'll see the field this fall, but... offensive line is going to be a significant strength for the Dogs this fall.
Absolutely, especially that interior, man. A lot of push up front. Them big boys. I gave Ratledge a hard time, you know, because I still think about that sticker getting pulled off. But, you know, I'm getting over it. Just it's going to take a while, you know. Maybe after a few years while he's in the NFL, I may overlook it.
All right, next I got the receivers, Shade. I mean, this should give you an idea of how stacked Georgia is that they're this low down the list. Ladd McConkey back, maybe the most underrated player in the entire country. Marcus Rosemy St. Jack, he's been in college for 20 years, I think. Arian Smith, who made the big play in the national championship game that sparked Georgia, he's back. Jackson Meeks, Makai Muse, Dylan Bell, young guys stepping up. Chandler Smith, another one. And then, oh, yeah, transfers, Dominique Lovett, Rah-Rah Thomas, two of the best players in all the SEC last year. Throw them all in the mix. Woo. This is the best receiving core I think Kirby's had.
Absolutely, man. I really love Lovett especially. That's a kid that at times was if you watched the Georgia game last year, it was because of Lovett. And if he didn't get banged up, Lord knows how that thing would have ended. And Kirby probably just said, hell, I don't want to face him anymore. Come on down to Athens.
Next, I got the running backs, Shane Kendall, Milton, former five-star. He's been banged up a lot of his time, but this is his year to shine. Dejon Edwards has been very solid for the Dogs. Branson Robinson, one of the top running backs in the country last year. He's back for his sophomore season. Savion Clark, Andrew Paul, deep, talented. The Dogs, they're going to be running the ball a lot this fall, I feel like, and these are the guys that are going to be leading that charge.
Yeah, man, absolutely. This is, a loaded room, and that's it seems like a common thing. I don't know how many fancy ways I could say it, Mike. They got talent everywhere.
Oh, and I forgot to mention, Shane, they just added the number 14 running back, Roderick Robinson. So throw him onto the mix. Let's see if he can get him some carries. He'll get plenty of carries against some of these non-conference opponents, no doubt. So that means quarterbacks are last, Shane, and this is not an indictment on them. It's just, you know, we've not seen them in much meaningful action, but we got three guys, including two former five stars. So this is ridiculous depth. Carson Beck, Brock Vandegrift, and Gunnar Stockton. You can win with any of these guys. You know, they assume it'll be Carson Beck, but I think it's smart of Kirby not to name him a starter. You know, make him earn it. I mean, why hand him anything? Let him earn it through summer into training camp. There's no wrong answer here.
No, and it is interesting how he's playing that out as like it is a quarterback competition. In fact, during spring, he talked about Gunner sometimes more than he did Beck. And I like that approach because this is a league where injuries happen and you don't want to have just one guy. You want to have a multitude of them. So this is a loaded room. It's a talented room, unproven. And I think if we'll get to camp questions here in a minute, the only one I have on this side of the ball.
Mm-hmm. So the defense, Shane, again, any position group is the right answer. But I'm going defensive backs leading the way. Yeah. Javon Bullard is back. He was the defensive MVP against Ohio State in TCU national championship game. Outstanding player. Malachi Starks may have been the best freshman safety in the entire country, back for a second year. Kamari Lassiter, all three of those guys started last year. Dalen Everett and Nyland Green, they'll be battling out for the other starter spot, but depth is always critical. Tyke Smith, he's another one, Shane. I didn't realize he's still on the team. He's been on the team for about four or five seasons, seems like. Dan Jackson's back. Julian Humphrey, Smoke Bowie, the transfer from A&M. And, oh, yeah, A.J. Harris, freshman. Justin Rhett, another All-American freshman. Throw him into the mix. Very deep, very talented group here.
Secondary looking good, Mike. Secondary looking real good. And there's some heavy hitters over there. Mm-hmm. Potential Hall of Famers in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? So that is a scary, scary group back there. Nobody's going to want to throw. It's going to be like sharks, you know, and chum in the water if you put that thing in the air. So, yeah, loaded room.
Defensive line, I got them next, Shane. Easily, you could argue this is the best group, but again, we're splitting hairs here. Mykael Williams, former five-star, he's back, led the team, leading returning tackler in sacks. Nazir Stackhouse is back, another starter. Outstanding depth, Shane, incredible. Warren Brinson, Zion Logue, Tyron Ingram Dawkins, Trammell Walthrope, and Jonathan Jefferson, all those guys played. They're all back. And, oh, yeah, number four defensive lineman Jordan Hall, number 18 defensive lineman, Jamal Jarrett. Add them into the mix, Shane. Let's get them some third string reps, which means they'll be playing in about half the SEC games probably.
Absolutely. You're just begging them not to transfer to Alabama, you know?
So last but not least, certainly not least, Shane, linebackers, because we got some starters back here. Essentially all three starters are back. Jamon Dumas Johnson's back. Smile Munden's back, and Chaz Chambliss, who stepped up for Nolan Smith when he went down. That's why I say that all the starters are back. And, oh, yeah, a couple five stars behind him, Shane. Marvin Jones, Xavier Sory, Darius Smith, Jalen Walker. And, oh, yeah, a couple more five-star freshmen to add to the mix. Damon Wilson, Samuel Pimbois, Raylan Wilson, and Troy Bowles, Shane, who's the son of Todd Bowles up there in the NFL defensive coordinator. So pretty, I mean, anytime you add an NFL coach's son, you know he's going to be a, you know, off the charts football IQ guy.
Yeah. Let me ask you, and we're going to get to camp questions here. I just want to ask you while you're talking about all these guys, is there one up front there, especially that, I don't know, you've got penciled in as the dude, you know, because when you always think about some of these great defenses Georgia has, you know, they spend 10, 15 minutes talking about a guy that's just a force to be reckoned with. And there's a lot of talent on that side. But I'm just curious, who's the one guy that you think steps up with this team to become the dude that every offense needs to keep their eye on?
It'll probably be Mykael Williams, the sophomore defensive lineman who's leading returning sack artist, because, you know, it's so hard as a freshman to come in and make an impact, particularly on a team that's going back-to-back national champions, yet he did that. Now, I don't know they got another Jalen Carter. That guy was just one of a kind. But I didn't know who Jalen Carter was the first championship. I mean, he was a backup. You know what I mean? And then everyone's saying, my God, this backup's the best damn lineman they got. And they were right. So, I mean, Georgia's so loaded that it's guys that we may not even be circling right now could emerge. I know Trevon Walker, former number one overall pick to the Jaguars. He's another one. I mean, I knew who he was, but I mean, never in a million years would I have guessed, oh, yeah, that's former or future number one overall pick. So, I mean, they develop. There's just so loaded down here.
Yeah.
Now, kicker, a little bit of a question mark, Shane. Jared Zirkle's 1-for-1 in his career. I told you they added the number one high school kicker, Peyton Woodring, so add him into the mix. I don't know if he'll be ready as a true freshman, but he's number one for a reason. And then punter is back, Brett Thornton. Where's he from, Shane?
Australia. Land down under.
Are we not making punters in America anymore? That's just a little pet peeve of mine. I mean, hell, everybody's got an Aussie punter. But Brett Thornton is awesome. 45 yards per punt last season. So, we don't need a kicker at Georgia, Shane. No. All we do is score touchdowns.
I wonder, Mike, in that island over there, because that's basically what it is, if they're saying, you know, in high school, you know, what are your dreams? What's your ambition? And he's like, I want to go to America. And it says, well, can you kick? Because if you can, I've got a job for you. So I don't know. It's just kind of crazy. I'm sure there's a documentary out there talking about all these Aussies kicking the football. I just haven't seen it yet.
Well, yeah, I saw something years ago, back when College Game Day was really good. They had a speech, some kind of special about some academy they have out there where they find the best kickers in the country and they train them, and for the sole purpose of coming to America, earning a college scholarship. So I assume it's that, and I guess the word's out, and the entire SEC just scouts this damn kicking school down in Australia or something.
It's like the IMG of kicking over there in Australia.
All right, Shane, top 10 dogs. I've already tipped my hand. Brock Bowers, 99. I believe he's the only second 99 I've given out during our entire fall camp series. 98, Shane, Javon Bullard, the outstanding safety, so not far off. Malachi Starks, 97. That's pretty damn high for a sophomore. I think that's the highest I've given. Well, maybe Jenkins, and then Starks. I mean, neck and neck, best sophomores in the country. 97, the outstanding center, Cedric Van Pran. 96 at defensive lineman Mykael Williams, 96 linebacker.
I just want to pause for a second. I asked you for the dude. You give me a dude, and he's 5 on the list here. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, sorry.
Number 96 or 96 overall linebacker, Jamon Dumas Johnson. 95 receiver, Ladd McConkey. 95 receiver, Dominic Lovett. 94 offensive lineman, Amarius Mims. Not even a starter last year, but I think he's going to be that good. And then 94 linebacker, Smile Munden. Could have added about 20 more guys to be in a top 10. But this is the Georgia Bulldogs, Shane, and depth is just insane on this roster.
It is, and I think that's the fun part about this team is you're right. Halfway through the season, there's probably 3 or 4 names that wasn't on that list that clearly is going to be over 92, 93, you know?
Right. So biggest – camp questions, Shane. I have 2, actually. And it's not a major concern, but I do think it's something that's being a little bit overlooked. And it's just the fact that we got a new quarterback, 2 new offensive tackles in the starting lineup, and a new offensive coordinator. Now, I personally got confidence, clearly, in all those pieces. But it's one thing to sit here and just say it. It's another to go out there and execute. And, I mean, these are critical, critical positions, quarterback, offensive tackle, and offensive coordinator, obviously. So how does that gel together with this entire team? That is kind of the biggest question mark I have with the Georgia Bulldogs. And then the other one, you know, we can't even really answer this, but getting up for the challenge when you're on top, when everybody's chasing you, and a lot of these guys, you know, they were on the team the last couple of years, but they weren't, not all of them, were not the prime players. So, you know, how do they respond to being the hunted when they were maybe not the primary reason that Georgia's winning these titles? That is going to be something to monitor this fall with Georgia, I think.
Yeah, I think that's kind of going with my question. You know, Stetson Bennett was – I mean, I think we'll realize how good of a player he was 10 years from now. You know, not only was he just a good quarterback, but he was a good team leader. He had good presence on the field. I mean, he had complete control of that team. And something Kirby talked about last year in SEC Media Days was trying to create a new identity for this team last year. You know, when you win a national championship, you know, a lot of those guys go to the pros, and then you got another team here, and you don't want to live in the shadow of the team prior to you, you know. So this won't be the first time that he's had to do that, you know, but to create a new identity, it's a little bit easier when you got a quarterback like Stetson Bennett that's been at both of those. You know, you got to find new leaders on that offense. So I want to see who emerges. I want to see if Beck's the guy, how well does he take over that locker room and that huddle? Because sometimes, you know, when the shit hits the fan, your back's against the wall, you need a dude out there that can just look these kids in the eyes and say, hey, I got you, you know? So being fresh on this, you know, under the lights, you can't afford the luxury of waiting to see that. Not that Georgia is going to have any problems getting through this schedule, especially right out of the gate, but that's what I'm looking for here, Mike, is just leadership on that offensive side.
Yeah. Cause it's so easy to sit here, Shane, and say, oh, Carson Beck will be fine. He's going to throw for 3,000 yards, 30 touchdowns. But what happens the first time we go on the road and maybe we're down 14-0 at Auburn? And maybe it's because of special teams. You know, maybe they block a punt. Maybe, you know, a defensive back falls down. And then how the hell Auburn's up 14? It's not that we can't recover from that. But how does he respond to that challenge?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's just one example I can think of. I mean, Florida's got some trick plays. And all of a sudden, you know, we're not in Athens. We're neutral field, Jacksonville. How does he handle that environment? Right. On and on and on. I mean, there's many different challenges that we don't know how he'll respond to a tough situation. Right. And sitting here, Shane, when really, if we're talking about adversity, I mean, it's different for everybody, right? But what if they beat South Carolina by like 10? George Bulldogs, what the hell's the matter with us? We yeah. suck. And I'm like, you just won by 10 points. But it's like,
yeah.
no, we're used to winning by 40. Why aren't we winning by 40? Does that creep in? You know, it could be anything like that. So that
maybe the quarterback competition is legit, you know. Right. And the crazy thing about college football, Mike, is there's not a perfect recipe. What worked last year for this team's not going to work this year.
Mm-hmm.
College football is constantly evolving. Anything you're doing, there's coaches out there, if you're successful, there's coaches out there mimicking it and learning on ways to slow it down or stop it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot be stale. Stagnant. You've got to keep moving. I love what Nick Saban talks about. You never reach the peak of the mountain. You are constantly climbing. Those that feel like they've reached the peak are the ones that are going to fail. And I think that's where, and I know this is crazy talk. We're talking two-time national champ. We're nitpicking here. But the dream can't end. The dream can go sideways, and it only takes a couple of pieces, mainly complacency. That's the problem that you see with a lot of these programs that are doing great, great, great. They're being told they're great all the time. But then when they hit something, like you said, South Carolina, and there's a damn 14-yard swing that you weren't expecting, how do they react? How do they answer that? Do they fold? Do they – I mean, you're talking – how many times has this team ever been down? So This may be new. Some of these kids have never lost a football game, probably. You know, they went through high school undefeated. They're up here in Georgia undefeated. So I think it's tough to coach that, but they do got a guy in Kirby Smart that is complete. I mean, you talked about there's no one more locked into this guy sometimes, I think. But it's just – I don't know. It's just fun to talk about, and we're going to get to see it. But what happens when a little mistake happens, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right, Chayden. Schedule, breakdown, win, loss, or toss-up. We've done this for every team, Shane.
Oh, my gosh. I just saw it.
But this is going to be the quickest win-loss toss we've done. I mean, let's keep it real. Games unlikely to win for Georgia? None. Same as Bama. Games that are toss-ups? None, in my opinion, Shane. So,
yeah.
I mean, am I wrong? Is there a game or two that maybe you put into the toss category? What do you think?
No, I'm with you here, Mike. And you got to remember, this is from a Georgia fan perspective, a diehard Georgia fan perspective. Knowing what you got, knowing what you can be, knowing what you've done the last couple of years, there's no one on that schedule that you're really worried about. Now, there's some that you're like, okay, we got to bring our A game when we play Tennessee. Got to bring our A game maybe when we play Kentucky or Missouri, you know, or even South Carolina. I mean, you could make scenarios in your mind on why this one should be a little bit more important than, let's say, Ball State. But I don't think there is one team on here that a Georgia fan is afraid of.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go through the schedule game by game real quick with our game predictions. This may be quick, but we still got to do it, Shane, and particularly right out the game.
Wait, are we? Yeah, I guess we're skipping all that stuff. Yeah, this pod's shorter when we talk about Georgia, so we're getting right to it, huh?
Well, I mean, yeah, particularly
who
right.
Who the hell are these birds? I don't know that logo. What is that?
That's UT Martin, Shane. That's the other Tennessee that Alabama skipped this year. They're not playing UT Martin, but Georgia is. That's probably why they're not getting Alabama as well. But I mean,
what kind of mascot is that? Has he got glasses?
Some kind of bird, I think.
It looks like a.
I think it's a skyhawk or something.
Oh, okay, I see it. Yeah, I guess.
Well, the skyhawks are gonna. The sky home pretty damn quick. You know what I mean?
That's right.
I mean, Georgia could score 100 points in this game if they wanted.
Oh, how much are they getting paid to show up? Just put it all to graphic design to come up with that logo, didn't they?
All right, week two, another home game, Shane, Ball State.
Jeez.
I mean, this is another 50, 60-point ball game if Georgia wants it to be.
But pause it here for a second. This is perfect if you're a Georgia home. If you like entertainment, you hate this. You know, you want to see better games. I enjoyed Oregon right out of the gate last year. But new quarterback, new OC, you know, couple new faces. This is what you want. A couple of tune-up games before you start getting into conference play.
Mm-hmm. South Carolina, third game. Now we're getting a little bit serious. Spencer Rattler, Juice WRLDs, maybe they get hot. They can make it competitive. Again, I was the idiot last offseason that said South Carolina would beat Georgia. So no chance in hell I'm saying that again, Shane. Give me the dogs. But this will be the first true test of the season.
Yeah, first true test. I don't think it will be much of one, but it is at home. That they open up four games at home, so I think we're fine here. But, yeah, you're starting to warm up a little bit here.
Mm-hmm. And then we're warming back down because UAB's coming to town.
And you ain't winning. So, yeah, this one is a laugher as well, brother. I would love nothing more than these games to get off our schedule, but I understand why they do it.
Right. Now, here's where we get serious, Shane. Rivalry game. Hugh Freeze and company welcomes Georgia Bulldogs' first road game, so it could be tricky. An entirely new offense, new scheme, and new players, so everything new for the Auburn Tigers. Will they be able to test Georgia? Hugh Freeze, known for some upsets, Shane. And this is my first upset on the board, Shane. Give me Auburn to pull off an epic, epic shocker here. I like Auburn.
To what?
Beat Georgia.
No, shut up. What are you doing? Is this something you're going to edit out later when I'm not paying attention?
Any response to that, Shane?
Auburn beating Georgia?
Yep.
Yeah, that's not happening. It's not. They will never have a lead in this game, Mike.
Mm. Okay.
They may not score a point in this game, Mike. Okay. And you're going to say an upset? Are you serious?
Yeah, I think so. I think Hugh Freeze and company got. Remember, I'm already saying 8, 9, 10 wins, not 10 wins, but 8, 9 season for Auburn. I think they're going to be pretty good.
You're full of shit, Mike. There's no way.
All right, next week, Shane, Kentucky. Remember,
wait, Mike, you really are. You really think Auburn's going to beat Georgia?
Kentucky comes to town, Shane. Again, this is the team that I'm on them right now, Shane. I think Kentucky could be a 9-10 win contender. Only reason I don't really think there'll be a true East threat this year is because they got to go to Athens because Alabama's on their schedule and of course Tennessee and the rest. So Kentucky, very dangerous game. Give me Kentucky, Shane.
Fucking nuts, Mike. No, give me Georgia big here. That's where I'm going. So you can keep living in fantasy land.
All right, but we'll get back to the winning ways the following week, Shane. At Vanderbilt, it'll be a Georgia takeover with the stands 99.9% Bulldog fans. They'll be out hunting me in Nashville, Tennessee after this pod. Vanderbilt, that's an easy win.
Vanderbilt. Easy win, brother. Easy win. Going to have a ton of fun. A lot of alcohol up there now. So, yeah, maybe they'll have another Beyonce concert going around. Hey, real quick, we're going to be at the, what is it again?
Bearded Iris. July 15th, yes. 3 to 6 Central Time, Saturday before SEC Media Day. So, if you're coming out to Media Days here in Nashville, come hang out 3 to 6 Central Time, Bearded Iris. On, I think it's Van Ness, right near Topgolf. I'll throw up the address on the screen here while we're talking about it, but that'll be a good time right there.
Hey, oh yeah, and them Georgia fans, we'll have some beer and we'll talk about how dumb Mike's picks were here in the offseason.
All right, following week, big rivalry, Shane, Florida in Jacksonville. Man. Billy's going to need this one, Shane. Billy Napier, I think he's going to need an upset like this. He's going to need an upset somewhere to keep that fan base engaged, to keep that recruiting class. You can never overlook a rivalry game, Shane. Give me the Gators in this one.
Damn, Mike. No, I again, not even close, but I'm with you. Billy does need it. Florida does need it. They got some pretty cool shit going on right now. I mean, save some recruits for the rest of us there, Billy. But I tell you, them recruits, they don't grow up that quick, Mike. I got another huge loss here.
All right, and then the following week, Shane, Missouri at home. This is the team that gave you trouble last year, of course, well documented. So I think Georgia and company will take them a lot more serious this time around. We do think Missouri could be very good. Shane said maybe even 10 wins this season. I think that's true. But because last year was close, give me them dogs in an easy victory.
Yeah, I think that's the problem was that you did play them close. The game's going to be a little bit personal. I'm sure Lovett will be active in the locker room leading up to this thing. Yeah, I like Georgia, but again, this is a good team. Can't overlook them like you did last year, or it's going to stay close. But I just think that you've gave Kirby material. So yep. A lot of yelling in the locker room during that week of practice. So give me Georgia Bulldogs again. Pretty big.
Now, very tricky game right here, Shane. Ole Miss comes to
trap
town.
Game.
Well, yeah, yep. Trap game. And again, the only team Kirby's not beaten in the SEC. Quidjaw Junkins, best running back in the SEC, perhaps. Rocket Sanders, I think the only other running back that can contend with that. Jackson Dart, will he take that big next step? Pete Golding, defensive coordinator. Kirby ain't beat Ole Miss, Shane. He ain't doing it this season. 0-2. Give me Ole Miss. So I think it's a trap game. They'll be looking ahead to Tennessee.
Kirby. Oh, my gosh. Lane paid you for this one, didn't he? He's giving you money under the table. So, wait. Did you say Ole Miss wins, right?
Yes, sir.
Jeez, you crazy. Mike, this was my trap game. This is the one I was worried about for Georgia out of all the games on here because I'm afraid they're looking ahead to Tennessee. I do like some of the – I love the weapons at Ole Miss. I think they have the ability – you saw it with Alabama last year. They have the ability to turn it on and play with the big boys. Mm-hmm. And Georgia is a big boy, obviously. But – at this point, man, you may be coming off a close game again with Mizzou. I just cannot predict Ole Miss like you to pull off the upset here. So, again, Georgia remains undefeated.
Mm. Okay, the big one, Shane, on the road at Tennessee could be the game that decides the East, could be a game that decides a college football playoff spot. Dominated them Vols last season. In the rain, as Shane likes to point out, it was not as close as the final score indicated. I think that game fuels Tennessee all off season. Shane, this is the one. Josh Heupel gets Kirby and company. Give me them balls.
Damn! Look at you, man. Kirby barely bowl eligible with your record here, Mike. I am one of those that thought we had a shot last year as a Tennessee Vol fan, and you are correct. I think the rain was a huge impact, not so much the noise. And again, it's in Neyland. I'd love to get this one, but I'm a Georgia homer today. So I'm looking at that power T, and I'm like, hey, we are dialed in, and we're going to kick some ass. So give me Georgia again with another victory. Now you're looking at 11-0.
So the finale, Shane, at Georgia Tech, they lost.
If you say Georgia Tech, Mike, I'm hanging up.
In Kirby's first year, I don't think, as long as Kirby's there, Shane, they're ever losing to Georgia Tech again. Give me them dogs. Easy win here.
Jeez, Mike. Yeah, I think all three quarterbacks get play in this game. It's over. Georgia Bulldogs with another one. Undefeated. The streak continues.
Oh, you know what I forgot to tell you, Shane?
What's that, Mike?
I was picking against the spread. Come on, dogs are going undefeated. Come on, for second year in a row, undefeated. Try to mix it up. I didn't want to just so win, 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 win. So, hell yeah, undefeated. Kirby and company, remember they won last year, they were saying 7-5. I was trying to figure out a way to get them to 7-5 this year. The only way it happens is against the spread. Give me the dogs, 12-0.
I wonder how many turned off already. You know what I'm saying? Like, Mike's done lost his – he skipped Bayless all of a sudden, you know? He's just looking for likes, you know?
Well, I just thought it would be boring if we just sat here and said, win, win, win.
Well, you know, hey, let's make it interesting here, Mike. I want to make it interesting here for a second. Let's just pretend because, again, me and you are on record here saying Georgia goes undefeated, you know, looking at this schedule as a Georgia fan.
Yep.
And there are no tosses, there are no losses, but there are also some teams in the SEC that are not listed here. So I want to ask you three questions, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
If they played September 23rd at College Station, would you have win, loss, or toss there?
Win, I think. Yeah.
Okay. If you had October 7th in Death Valley at night against LSU, win, loss, or toss?
Toss.
Toss. Okay. All right, man. And if November 25th, we realize Georgia Tech will never be a threat to Georgia and they never have to play them again because it's a stupid game, and we replaced it with Alabama in Alabama on a Sunday night. Let's just really get – let's get wild, Mike. Win, loss, or toss? Who would you have?
I would maybe say loss in Tuscaloosa only. Just
really?
I mean, it'd probably be a toss. But
maybe a toss?
Okay. I just think that would mean – you know, the Alabama, I'm on record, Shane. I think they're in decline. That doesn't mean they're bad. I mean, they may be the second best team in the country, but they're used to being number one. I think that would be their Super Bowl. I think they put everything into it. And considering, you know, East and West, they'd meet again the following week in Atlanta. And on a neutral field, give me Georgia. I don't know. Hell, it'd probably toss, but I'm trying to think of the one scenario where Georgia could possibly lose. I think it's maybe on the road at Bama in the regular season. I think that's the only way.
Okay. All right. One last question, Mike. I'm just curious because we all got those man, I hope we should win, but let's don't overlook this team. Is there one on there that's currently on their schedule that you're like, if I'm worried about any game, it's going to be this one?
You know what's interesting, Shane? Both those games for me are at home, so we don't have to worry as much. But it's Kentucky and it's Ole Miss. I think those are the two most dangerous games on the schedule because I think Kentucky is going to be so good because Ole Miss is so hard to read. Ole Miss may not be good. I mean, they got a hell of a slate. They may only go 8-4, 7-5. But if it is that bad, it's because of the schedule, and you know maybe they lose two or three scores or games by one or two points or something like that. But Kentucky is the one I'm watching for. And again, it's in Athens, so very unrealistic that Georgia loses or even comes close. If that was in Lexington, if that game was in Oxford, much more on my radar as possible upsets. But I can't think of an upset here, can you?
No, me either.
Not
man.
Even Tennessee at Tennessee?
I mean, that's the easy
Joe
answer.
Milton,
that's
Heisman
that's
winner.
That's where we're all going to go, but... You know, but if it's talking heads, just don't talk about it. Tennessee sneaking around and behind the hedges, you know. nobody. We'll be lucky to fill that stadium up during that game, Mike.
Well, buddy, another successful fall camp preview in the books. Maybe if you turned off, maybe they'll turn back on to this point for me to apologize. Just trying to have some fun. Give me an undefeated Bulldog season once again, back to back, and maybe a three-time national champion.
Three-peat.
I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, I think if you're a true diehard fan, you're looking at three-peat. You are going to be the team to get the three in a row.
Yep.
That means you can never take your foot off the gas. That means you got to keep coming with it, and this team can. I mean, that schedule is teed up nicely, brother. Teed up real nice.
Absolutely. Well, brother, I appreciate you. I appreciate all the cousins out there. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys.
Go Dawgs.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.